I'd like to turn to the book of James, chapter 5. We are so thankful that we've been able to be here with you all, and the Lord has blessed us. We pray that He has blessed you as well. We immensely enjoyed our time with the Grabers. We knew we would, and immensely enjoyed that. Appreciate their friendship and hospitality. Immensely enjoyed the fellowship this afternoon, and we appreciate this church so much. Appreciate your spirit and your love for the Lord. We'd like to this afternoon read here from the book of James. This will not be our text, but it'll be introductory to our text. We've been focusing on Christ, and in this last message of this meeting, we will deviate from that. I want to speak tonight, this afternoon, concerning prayer. But in James chapter 5, we'll read verses 16 through verse 18. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. And I will stop there and just give a word of advice. If you're going to confess your faults to someone, make sure it's someone who's going to pray. Confess your faults to one another. And pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Leading up to what is said here, James has been stressing the duty and the need and the importance of praying. In beginning with verse 13, he mentions some circumstances that we all deal with, such as affliction, sickness, sin. And in each of these circumstances, he calls upon God's people to pray. He says in verse 13, let him pray. In verse 14, we read, let them pray. And in verse 15, by way of encouragement, he says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And then in verse 16, he returns to giving exhortation concerning prayer, this time concerning the sin of others. He says, pray one for another. He then states a fact. He says the effectual, that is, the effective and fervent. Fervent speaks of the manner of praying. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. That speaks of the condition of the one praying. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. That is, helps and benefits much or largely to a great extent. And by way of encouragement to this duty of prayer, and as an example to the fact just stated, he mentions Elijah. He says Elias or Elijah was a man. He was a man. He wasn't angelic. He wasn't some superhuman individual. Elijah was a man, and he was subject, or he was susceptible and prone to passions, to like passions, as we are. That is, he was affected by the same things that you and I are affected by. He was subject to the same sins that you and I are subject to. He was subject to the same weaknesses and the same shortcomings. He was a man. He was subject to the same feelings that we are subject to. He then makes reference again to encourage us in this matter of prayer. And he, that is Elijah, this man, prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And again, by way of encouragement in this matter of prayer, notice verse 18. And he prayed again. And he prayed again. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And he prayed again. In other words, prayer was his habit. He prayed again. I want to speak this afternoon on the persistent prayer of Elijah for rain. Consider, first of all, that this was a time of great need. At this time, the land was under the judgment of God because of idolatry. Evil King Ahab and his wicked wife, Queen Jezebel, had brought Israel deeper into sin. And even before they brought them deeper into sin than anyone before. And they led the nation, of course, deeper into Baal worship. The nation had persistently ignored God's calls to repentance. God sent his faithful prophet Elijah to confront Ahab, telling him that there would be no rain, there would be no dew for years to come. Coming to our text, and we want to turn there in 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, and we'll read verses 41 through verse 46. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again. And we see he did this seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea. And this cloud has the appearance of a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot to get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. And there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, coming to this text, the drought or the famine has been going on for 3.5 years. It has not rained. There had not been dew on the ground for 3.5 years. We read in verse 2 of 1 Kings 18, there was a sore or a very severe and distressful famine in Samaria. So it was a time of great famine. The crops had no doubt died in the fields. Much livestock had died and was dying. Wells had dried up and were continuing to dry up. Rivers and brooks had dried up and were continuing to dry up. People had died. and were continuing to die, all as a result of this famine. No doubt it was a time of grief. No doubt it was a time of great sorrow, a time of heartache, a time of anguish, a time of poverty. No doubt it was a time of tremendous loss. Perhaps even a time of hopelessness, a time of futility, a time of restlessness. No doubt there was widespread devastation. There was barrenness everywhere you looked. There was desolation everywhere you looked. And if you were to look upon the faces of the people at this time, no doubt you would see sadness. No doubt you would see distress. If you were to look upon their faces, no doubt you would see some worried people. You would see some very confused people. And if you were to look upon these people, you would see that they are marked with weakness and frailty. It has not rained for 3.5 years. There has not been dew for 3.5 years. I believe you would see a people who were struggling just to continue on. You would see a people that is surrounded by death, surrounded by futility. It was a time of great need. And we read here in 1 Kings chapter 18 that Elijah fell upon the ground, put his face between his knees, and he prayed. And he prayed. We want to notice some things about that, and then we want to make application. First of all, Elijah had faith in God. Verse 41 says, "For there is a sound of abundance of rain." In this time of famine, in this time of death, Elijah tells Ahab, "The rain's coming. I'm so sure of it, I can hear it. I can hear the sound of rain." You see, Elijah knew the God who withheld the rain, and he knew the God who sent the rain. And no doubt God had told him that it was going to rain. So Elijah had confidence. Elijah believed that it was going to rain. Secondly, having this faith in God, Elijah was moved to pray. We read in verse 41 again, "For there is a sound of abundance of rain." Then we read in verse 42, "So Ahab went up to eat and drink. In the meantime, Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel to pray." To pray for rain. He was moved to pray. Oh, how we need to be moved to pray. Oh, how we need some Elijahs that are moved to pray. We live in terrible times, terribly sinful times, and we desperately need a people that are moved to pray. And Elijah was moved to pray. He believed and he prayed. Notice the spirit of Elijah in prayer. He took his proper place before the Lord. He cast him in verse 42. He cast himself down upon the earth. He put his face between his knees. This is a sign or a picture of reverence. It is a picture of humility. It is a picture of a burdened heart. It is a picture of submission. And there we have Elijah praying. But then notice the manner of his praying. We already read in the book of James that he prayed fervently. That is, he prayed with passion. He prayed with intensity. He prayed wholeheartedly. And he prayed earnestly. That is, he prayed very seriously and he prayed resolutely. What this means is that Elijah prayed with vigor. We need a people that are moved to pray. Not just to say some words, but to pray as Elijah prayed. He prayed with vigor. He prayed with energy. He prayed with zeal. He prayed with passion. He prayed with determination. He prayed with diligence. Elijah's not just on that mountain going through the motions of prayer. Elijah's not just saying some words. Elijah is praying. He's praying. And he prayed with great persistence. He prayed with great perseverance. In fact, he instructed his servant that while he was praying, he said, "You go and look toward the sea for a sign of the rain that's coming." And while Elijah was praying, this servant went toward the sea and he returned. And he said, "Master," or "Elijah, there's nothing. No hint of rain, no wind, no cloud in the sky." Notice those words, "there is nothing." Verse 43. "There is nothing." What did Elijah do? He continued to pray. The servant went again, looked out toward the sea. Again, no hint of rain, no wind, no cloud in the sky. And he returned to and said to Elijah, "Elijah, there is nothing." Nothing. Elijah said, "Go again." And Elijah continued to pray. The servant went again, looked toward the sea, and again there's no hint of rain anywhere. There's no wind. There's no cloud in the sky. And he returned to Elijah and he said, "Elijah, there's nothing." Elijah said, "Go again." And Elijah continued to pray. We see the servant went again, looked toward the sea. Again, no hint of rain anywhere. No wind, no cloud in the sky. And he returned again. Perhaps a little slower. Perhaps with some discouragement in his voice. He said, "Elijah, there's nothing. Nothing." And Elijah said, "Go again." And Elijah continued to pray. The servant went again, looked toward the sea. No rain anywhere. No cloud in the sky. And he returned again to Elijah. Again, perhaps even slower this time. Maybe now with some frustration in his voice. He said, "Elijah, there's nothing." And Elijah said, "Go again." And Elijah continued to pray. The servant went again, looked toward the sea. Again, not a sign of rain anywhere. No cloud in the sky. And he returned to Elijah. "There's nothing. There's nothing." Elijah said, "Go again." And Elijah continued to pray. 6 times. 6 times. Elijah heard those 3 words. "There is nothing." Do you understand me, Elijah? There is nothing. No sign of rain. 6 times. And I believe somewhere in that time frame, I'm sure that Satan began to whisper in the ear of Elijah, "What's the use, Elijah? Elijah, just quit. Elijah, give up. Elijah, though God said it was going to rain, listen to your servant. There is nothing. There is nothing. There is no sign of rain. Elijah, God does not hear your prayer. There is nothing. But with no sign of discouragement, no sign of giving up, Elijah kept on praying. Fervently and earnestly. Why did Elijah do that? Why did Elijah pray on? Why was Elijah so persistent? Why didn't Elijah faint? Well, I believe because he remembered what God did at that brook of Cherith. He remembered what God did down there at Zarephath with the widow woman. He remembered what God did on Mount Carmel. And he believed. He believed that on the other side of nothing was a great big God. And many times you and I get the word, there's nothing. We pray and the word comes, there's nothing. There's no sign of an answer. Keep on praying. Because on the other side of nothing is God. And out of nothing, God can do something. Don't be discouraged by nothing. But instead, get our eyes upon the one who is on the other side of nothing, which is God. So 6 times, he hears those words, there is nothing. But Elijah continued to pray. He continued to pray. Because I believe Elijah could see by faith the God on the other side of nothing. How many things you and I have given up praying for? We just stopped. And we stopped because we prayed for a while and there was nothing. So we automatically assume, well, it's obvious. After 3 times of there is nothing, it's obvious God's not going to make it rain. And that's the assumption that we make. Yet it could be that God is just telling us, keep on praying. Just keep on praying. Well, after 6 times of there is nothing, in verse 44, we read, and behold, it came to pass at the 7th time. The servant returned after looking out at the sea. And he returned to Elijah with the news. And notice the first word there, behold. There's no frustration in his voice now. There's no discouragement. He says, behold. There is a little cloud. Out there in the distance, I can see a little cloud. Like a man's hand. Elijah got excited. Because Elijah knew that on the other side of something little was something greatly significant. God. We started with nothing. Now we have something little, and filled with assurance, Elijah tells his servant, you go and you tell Ahab he better get moving. Because if he doesn't, he better get moving before the rains stop him, before he gets stuck in the mud. In the mud. Verse 45, and it came to pass, meanwhile, that the heaven was black with clouds. The wind was blowing. And there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Elijah was greatly strengthened. Verse 46, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins from his place of prayer. And he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Keep in mind that it's pouring down rain. And Elijah takes off. And he gets to Jezreel before Ahab. That's remarkable. Because Jezreel is between 16 and 17 miles from Mount Carmel. And there's Elijah. He has gone from praying for rain. Now what's he doing? He's running in the rain to Ahab. By application, we all have droughts. We all have times of drought. Spiritual drought. We all have times of spiritual dryness. We all have times of spiritual emptiness. There are times in our life when our spiritual life becomes barren and desolation begins to set in. We all have times of difficulty. We all have times of trial. And Elijah serves as an example in such times. He believed God, and though there was no answer in sight, he continued to pray. You pray for your lost children. You pray for your lost spouse. You pray for your lost parents. You pray for your lost loved ones. And even if there is no sign of the Lord working in them, you keep on praying that the Lord would save their soul. You don't stop. You don't stop. No matter what discouraging news comes your way, keep on praying till they take their last breath. You pray. And Elijah, he continued to pray. He continued to plead. He continued to pour out his heart to God. And while he was praying, he heard six times, there is nothing. There's nothing. You have anything that you've been praying about and there's nothing? No answer in sight anywhere? Keep on praying. Elijah refused to quit praying. Elijah refused to be discouraged. Elijah refused to be distracted. He continued to pray. And you and I today, we live in a time when most are experiencing the or suffering from the effects of spiritual drought. We live in a time when individual lives and homes and churches have become spiritual wastelands. This is commonplace. It is at such times we need some Elijahs. We need some Elijahs that are going to pray. We need some Elijahs that are going to keep on praying. We live in a time when the devil is on a rampage. And oh, how we need some Elijahs to pray. We live in a time when those who have a hatred and opposition to everything that God represents, they are more relentless than they've ever been. They are more determined than they have ever been. And we need to be a people that are going to pray and keep on praying even when there is no sign of an answer. We live in a time, of course, when there is a brazen openness about sin. When people are trying to force their sinful ways and their rebellious ways and their ungodly ways and their degrading and filthy and vile lifestyles upon you and I. What are we to do? We need to pray. We need to be a people of prayer. This is a time when there's little shame associated with evil. And we live in a time when people are proud of their sin and they're proud of their ungodly ways. We live in a time when sin is being trivialized. We live in a time of defilement. We live in a time of wickedness. We live in a time of ungodliness and abomination. We live in a time of looseness. We live in a time of blasphemy. We live in a time of heresy. We are surrounded by that which is offensive to God and that which is repulsive to God. We need to be praying. We need to be a praying people. We live in a time that is under the influence of adultery, under the influence of fornication, under the influence of immorality of all kinds, under the influence of immodesty, under the influence of perversion and lewdness and idolatry and hatred and on we could go. We need to pray. We need to be a people that believes God enough that it moves us to pray. Something is wrong if God's people are not moved to pray. That ought to be our response to everything. Pray. Pray. We live in a time, of course, when God's order for the sexes and for marriage and the home is ignored, it's rejected, it's tossed aside. And we can get all discouraged. But this isn't the time to get discouraged. This is the time to pray. Pray on as Elijah prayed. We live in a time when the world is becoming more and more evil in its thinking. More and more evil in its ways. More and more evil in its speech. More and more evil in its pursuits. More and more evil in its enjoyments. We live in a time of carnal ambition. We live in a time of sinful pleasures. And these things are becoming more and more and more prevalent. And we need to pray. We live in times of rampant, days of rampant philosophies that are anti-God. We need to be praying. We live in days and which God and the things of God are being pushed more and more out of everyday life. And we need to pray. We need to pray. We need some Elijahs. We need some Elijahs who will pray on. We live in a time when many of God's people are cold, when many of God's people are lax, and when many of God's people are very careless, and they're indifferent toward the things of God, and they've lost their intensity, they've lost their spiritual earnestness, and there is no fire, there is no zeal, there is no passion for the Lord. We need some Elijahs to pray. To just keep on praying. Don't be discouraged. When you hear there's nothing, but see that on the other side, can you look beyond nothing? Can you look this afternoon beyond nothing and see God? Can you look beyond that which is little and insignificant and see God? It's because when we're able to do that, we're moved to pray. You see, we need some spiritual rain. We really do. We are in desperate need of spiritual rain that will cause the fruit of the Spirit to burst forth. We need some Elijahs. We need some Elijahs to fall down and call upon God and continue to pray. Remember what Elisha said. He said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" That's really not the question. Lord God of Elijah is where He's always been. But where are the Elijahs? Where are the Elijahs that are moved to pray? Are you willing today to be an Elijah? If so, you can go from praying for rain to running in the rain, enjoying the spiritual rains that come down. We need to be a people of prayer. Every single one of us, we have concerns. We have burdens. We have things that we pray for. We have things that we pray about. Don't stop. The only time you stop is when it becomes clear that you're supposed to stop. But just those words, "there is nothing," that's not a clear sign that it's time to stop praying. You just keep on praying. Keep on praying for those wayward people. Those that have gone out from us, keep on praying. You say, "Oh, they just seem to get worse." Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Pray for those who struggle spiritually. Keep on praying. Well, it doesn't seem to be make any difference. Keep on praying. Just keep on praying. Don't stop. Don't stop praying for your pastor. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying for one another. There is nothing. Keep on praying anyway. And all the benefits of being a praying people. Again, we thank you so much for your love, your hospitality this week, and you've been a blessing to us.